And did someone else just join?
Jonathan.
Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, Helen.
And someone else just joined?
That's George here.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. This is Helen. So wait another minute. So far we've got Susie, Dave, Janet, Breck, Steve, and George, and then from Arcus, myself, Helen, and Jonathan, Susan, and Rhea. And I know we're expecting Hio, and I think that's it, so we'll just wait for Hio, and then we can get started.
I just sent in a revision.
Oh, good. Is that Susie?
Yeah. Sorry that it was so late.
Oh, good. Okay. Thanks.
Sounds like we're at a construction site or something.
I'm going to email Ohio real quick, make sure he's getting on. Is that Hio?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm a bit late.
Oh, that's okay. I think that's all we were expecting. So we have on the phone for the SSC members, Hio, Susie, Janet, George, Steve, Breck, and Dave, and from Arcus, myself, Helen, and Susan, Ray, and Jonathan. Did I miss anybody?
Great.
Yeah, nice turnout, especially pre-AGU week. That's great. And then, just so everybody knows, there's a little pre-call chatting. Breck and Dave are actually working on the permafrost goal.
Shorten
it, so we are good on that front. And Susie emailed a new version of the society policy goal, too, so that should be fresh in everybody's email.
I just did a little wordsmithing to try to, make it a little more, direct.
Okay,
not
great.
Not so wordy.
Great. That's always good. And I like the one page.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, and I have asked for input from two or three other, quote-unquote, outside people and have gotten a few responses.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Great. Actually, that really is timely because, if I can just jump in here, I've been corresponding a bit with people who are with this large DOE program, is it NGEME or NG program, that is doing these tundra manipulation experiments on the North Slope. And they're really interested in linking up with SEARCH. And we actually had, as part of the organizing committee for the Arctic Observing Coordination Workshop in March, there was quite a bit of interest by a number of people, including Philip Martin, who's heading up the Arctic LCC, in particular the sort of the permafrost goal, and let's make sure we call it the land surface goal. I think that that really resonated with quite a few people. So Breck, I might send you just a few notes on that as well, because they really, I think we're going to get good feedback from them. They were very interested in this.
Great.
Okay.
So, sorry, Helen, I didn't want to interrupt the flow there. How do you want to do this? Do you just want to take us through these, what's your preference here?
Yeah, so, Susan and I chatted a little bit this morning about it. So, our goal was to get a version of the goals, and they'll still be draft because they're very much, in progress, out to the community before AGU, and they'll be presented at AGU in the SEARCH Town Hall on Tuesday afternoon in San Francisco. So, you know, and there's a, I think there's a few things to sort of be clarified and sharpened. You know, we do need to get them all to a similar length. And, you know, I know Breck and others are working on the permafrost one. They also need to be in a similar tone as well. So what we could do is maybe go through the sea ice and society policy one and just sort of talk about content and clarifying tension and things like that. And then we can work offline, and even I'm willing to do a first cut to sort of get them all to the same length and tone and level of detail, which will mean, again, you know, we've got some input from the panels that, you know, anything more than one page was sort of too much to read, and I think that would be a good goal for us to shorten them to one page each and be very concise. And then there's a lot of stuff we can just sort of save as text for the next round when we're fleshing things out for implementation plan. Does that sound like an okay plan for everybody? So just talk today about those two goals and any sort of major content issues, and then work offline and on email to get them all consistent?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I maybe I wouldn't get too hung up about, okay, trying to squeeze them on one page. I mean, okay, I may be biased here, but, you know, I'm just looking at the sea ice goals. I mean, that's a pretty, I mean, that's like a page and a half or something, and to me that still looks good. You know, I mean, the goals themselves fit on the page, but then you have a fairly extensive paragraph sort of explaining why this is important. I do think that, you know, because that's in part a justification for why we're focusing on this.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, like 1 to 2 pages. I agree that, you know, the societal and policy implications goal, that's great. I mean, that's very pithy and you know, right on there. But if it's a bit longer than a page, you know, let's not get hung up about that.
Yeah, well, I'm going to aim for one page, because we also got feedback from NSF that's the preference. But, you know, if the content, you know, makes it so we just can't, then that's fine.
Mm.
So, you know, I don't think we need to be. But there's some, you know, wording and stuff we could cut from the sea ice one and we'll squeeze it down. But, yeah, you know, less than 2 pages.
Mm. Okay.
And I think someone else just joined, too.
This is Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Hi.
So we're just getting started,
hey.
Karen.
Yeah.
Okay, so do we want to tackle the sea ice goal first?
Sure.
Sure.
Okay. And maybe either Hio or Janet, can you just sort of give us an executive summary reminder of how you approach this, or any major changes from the panels, or anything, you know, anything that everybody should be aware of as part of your approach and what you were attempting to do?
Yeah, I can take a stab at that. The input from the panels was to incorporate the global linkages or Arctic linkages as one of the three subtopics, or the three, whatever we're calling them, objectives. And then what we did was we combined the old numbers 2 and 3 objectives, which there was a lot of overlap on, because they both were kind of like consequences of sea ice changes for ecosystems and so human activities. So we combined those into number 2, and then we added number 3, which was the linkages. We also redid objective number 1 to make it a lot more to the point about what the things that we thought really needed to be done. So that was kind of our overriding philosophy of how we changed it. And I believe the original goal was like 3 or 4 pages long, so it's much shorter now.
Yeah.
The introduction, I kept the content the same, I just edited it to be the main points. And I think it still delivers the message. And I think that we wanted to make a strong case that we are doing things in the context of all these other major efforts going on, so that we're well aware of it, are coordinated with it philosophically, and we're moving forward in a way that is still not, you know, redundant. And so I think that what we tried to do in that preamble was to call out things like the NOAA Arctic Strategy, the National Ocean Policy, the U.S. ARC strategy document, the ISAC document, and there was a fifth one. I don't know if we need to be this comprehensive, but the other main important one is the presidential directive that came out in 2009. And I sort of took one more crack at just editing this, and I put, you know, a 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 in front of those things just to make it read a little bit easier. So we can decide if we don't want to make it any longer, maybe we don't have to reference the presidential directive, but it would be like another 10 words or so. I think that under the objectives, they're much more action-oriented. They say apply diverse and new tools, explore the breadth of consequences, number two. And number three, I would reword to say assess how Arctic sea ice changes affect mid-latitude weather and climate. So we kind of have a apply, explore, and assess, you know, so it's a little bit more consistent in its wording. The only thing that, I mean, if I were sitting in the search town hall meeting, which I may not be, actually, I might cancel my AGU trip, but if I were someone from the outside, I would say, oh, wait, let me add one more thing. This is an update. We are talking about adding an IARPIC section just on sea ice forecasting now. I don't know if anybody's heard that yet. That sort of happened this past week. And the original sea ice forecasting elements were buried in Section 3. And I think that, Pete, that in the last principals meeting, they felt that it was so important that it should be called out as its own chapter. So we're kind of scrambling to put that together. So that's good news.
Yeah, and that's the IARPIC research goals
plan. The five-year plan.
Yep. Well, that's great.
That is great. And so really, I guess if I were somebody sitting in the town hall meeting, I would say, okay, all this stuff sounds really good, but what are the parts that search can actually do as the search science committee and the panels, and what is this is just recommended to do? I feel like it's peppered, you know, in and out like this, and I don't think we want to put in responsible parties, but if you say, is something able to be accomplished in a five-year time frame, if no one's responsible for doing it or accountable for doing it, I would say it will be tough to you know, get some of these things done. And some of these really are search activities done by the people on the search panels and on the SSC. Some of them won't be. Anyway, so that was just my thought. Is there a way that you think that we could even make it a more direct document by including, I don't know, or maybe that's a step two. But I think having that in mind somewhere close to putting this document out would be a good idea. Okay, that's all I have.
Yeah, and the sort of who and how is, you know, basically, you know, in the next step for implementation plan. You know, so what we want now are goals and objectives that really resonate with the community, that are clear, that people can sort of get a picture of. You know, and I, you know, definitely as we've talked about, we'll have to work very, very closely with the agencies. And some of these will be revised, you know, if it's, you know, no agencies are sort of willing to step up to the plate, or there are some agencies who are really interested in a couple objectives, and, you know, I think those will be revised accordingly.
Okay, so then maybe the solution to that is presenting this as that, and that an implementation plan follow-up.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I think, you know, the question is, you know, is the goal and objective, for, you know, scientifically exciting, doable, important, you know, and is it articulated clearly? You know, when someone who's not necessarily a CIS expert reads the you know, the three main objectives? Is it, you know, do they start getting pictures of what might be happening and how that might advance the science? So.
This is Hayo. Actually, thanks, Janet. That was great because it really, I think you put the problem very well, in particular towards the end. Here's my take on it, and that is that, yes, I mean, we do have, I mean, a lot of implementation is already phrased out. We have that on paper. It's just not showing here, and that's good. But at the same time, I think what these goals and objectives documents are also going to help us. They basically provide a framework or sort of the playing field for the broader scientific community, agencies, and others to engage. And so even though, you know, we do want to work through all of these things, you know, we may find some of these are just not doable, but because the scientific community operates very differently, if they, you know, submit proposals to a general call from NSF, say, than an agency, I think that's something I would stress at the town hall meeting as well, is that there is that, you know, sort of the dichotomy, if you will, in how researchers who are just, you know, thinking about interesting ideas, pursuing those, put in a competitive proposal, get funded, and work on that, and what, say, an agency would do that's actually charged with CS prediction or CS forecasting. And I think we've now arrived at a point where there's enough crosstalk, enough cross-linkage, and you could argue that the IARPIC choice to have CS forecasting as one of their research goals is just an expression of that. There's enough of this going on that we can use this as a sort of to basically bound the playing field and draw some lines on the playing field, but not necessarily say, okay, you have to, you know, in order to score a goal, you have to be at the whatever, you know, 20-yard line or something. And that is going to be a bit more of a challenge in also getting this across to the scientific community, that they really, you know, and that's where SEARCH as a sort of as an interagency program really needs to help. And we have to think about this a bit harder, is how can we sort of provide guidance and really provide all the information, the tools that individual researchers or group of researchers or whatever might need to be successful in putting in proposals that get funded that address some aspect of SEARCH. And the reason I say that is I just got off a phone call with Neil Swanberg at NSF, you know, where, again, we talked about this issue that, you know, he sees NSF move more and more towards less specific calls, you know, that just reference general programs in very broad, in a very broad sense, rather than saying we want X, you know. And so in that context, if NSF remains as fuzzy, you know, but very supportive of this type of stuff, then I would really see an important role to be played by these goals and objectives documents as outlining the playing field. And knowing that if you're on the playing field, you know, there's a very good chance that you're going to score a goal. Okay, sorry about the mixed metaphors there, but.
Okay. So, hi, George here. Just sort of follow up on that a little bit. I'm wondering if Neil likes the idea that they're more and more fuzzy at NSF, or whether he'd rather have things a little more specific. And given the conversation that we had with a group from NSF a while ago, even before the August meeting in Colorado, you know, these documents are going to be read by people who are progressively further and further removed from the scientific aspects as the decisions for funding go higher and higher up the food chain. And I was just wondering if having something that, you know, putting myself in that position, I don't work on CIs and I'm not sure really what's going on there, but thinking about some kind of a goal that could almost serve as a rallying point for the community. For example, you might say, well, right now, if we hindcast our models, we get within 20% of predicting what any year's sea ice actually was. And we really need to be better than plus or minus 20%. We need to be better than 10%. And so that's a goal in the next 5 years. It is to predict this with better than 10% accuracy so that people like the Navy and Coast Guard have better and more useful information with which to plan. Now, that's something, throwing out a number, it may be different numbers, but it's something that I think people who are not very close to this kind of science might be able to relate to and say, yeah, that's kind of exciting, or that's sort of neat. I mean, I want to see that done. Sure, let's fund this. So I don't want to take this off in too far of a direction, but I read through this and it all makes really nice sense, but I don't get a sense of excitement out of it. And I'm wondering how we can address that, or if we need to.
Good points. Anybody else want to jump in on that point that George made?
I would have one short comment, which is, in NOAA's plan, we have to be more specific, like the example that you just cited, such as a 10% increase in the accuracy of the predictability of the, you know, whatever variable you're talking about. And we do this with hurricane tracks and this, that, and the other, and we're trying to come up with these metrics that are actually measurable for assessing your progress for sea ice. And I don't know if it, I agree with you that this is not especially exciting, but I'm not sure that level of detail could go in here, but maybe we could incorporate it as trying to develop metrics across the board and for different disciplines as they relate to the sea ice. You know, maybe we could kind of take a swath like that at it.
Okay, that's one way to do it. I mean, I would disagree on the excitement part, but I agree that okay, if you list these goals and objectives, you know, that tends to bureaucratize some of the excitement. So one way to counter that would be to say, okay, so for sea ice, I'm looking at the three themes here or the three subsets of goals. You know, can we find a bullet that gives an example, I'm a bit concerned about saying, yeah, we will commit to doing X, you know, at this point where we haven't really talked about implementation and where things may go one way or another. But you could argue that if we had a bullet for each one of these that says, okay, example, you know, 5 years from now, we will, okay, now let's pick one here. So take the last one, Arctic linkages. 5 years from now, we will know whether changes in sea ice have an impact on weather in the lower 48 that is on par with other important modes of atmospheric variability. Bang, you know, something like that. I mean, you might even be able to shorten that more. Or for the prediction, you might say, okay, 5 years from now, at least one group of stakeholders will routinely use models developed through this effort to inform their planning of operations or hunting in the summertime in the Arctic, you know, something like that. That may not, you know, that doesn't have a number in there, but I see this as, that gets to the other point that you're saying is, okay, if you want to convince people at higher levels, they don't just want to see the numbers, they want to see this actually gets used.
Yeah, I think use is part of it. I think another way of viewing this is, so if we don't do all of this, where are we going to lose out? What are the problems going to be? Like how are we going to fail? How are things going to be worse off than they are now? Because scientists always want to know more information. But if we don't know this, it's like saying, well, if we don't calculate X, Y, or Z, curiosity will never reach Mars. It'll go off into space. So, are there any consequences for not doing this?
Okay, great. No, I like that. So maybe what we need to do then is, and it may not even be part of this goals document itself, although it could be in the introduction, but if we could, say, come up with just a couple or three or whatever examples of what you just outlined, you know, what's going to happen if we don't do this, you know, where you would say, okay, with CIs, you know, if we don't put effort into this, there will be a significant chance of, okay, I'm making this up now, but of a major accident involving maritime shipping in the Arctic because of poor quality of existing ice prediction products, you know, something like that. Or there will be, or the uncertainty about the impact of the Arctic on weather patterns in the U.S. will significantly degrade the predictive power that standard predictors formerly had. You know, let's say predictors related to ENSO or something. You know, if we were able to put that into just a few sentences, those would be great examples, of course, that say I or somebody else who's presenting on this to potential funders, to the scientific community, could pull out and say, hey, you know, here, to sort of clarify what this is about, here's an example of what this might mean.
Yeah, I like that. Another one might be that if we don't know what the sea ice extent is, there's no way we can predict what the fisheries are going to be. We have no information on the base of the food web if we don't have sea ice.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Good point. Yeah. These cross sector, or we won't know how land cover is going to change, or we won't know how permafrost is going to degrade in areas where with significant impacts on coastal communities and infrastructure if we don't know how the sea ice is evolving on sort of interannual and decadal timescales.
Right.
Janet, do you? Yes. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
This is Steve. I like the idea of being specific. I'm not sure about phrasing things in the negative. I think that it also can be effective to phrase things in the positive and say things, for instance, with linkage 3, is to say, based on our knowledge of pre-existing conditions the autumn before, our ability to anticipate, for instance, last year's cold and snowy winter in the U.S., something like that, that's specific, but it's not always sounding so negative. It's just the spin we put on it.
Yep. Yeah. This is
good point.
Yeah. I think you really you need to get specific, even if it changes. You know, as folks talk to agencies and things just okay, this is not realistic, so we're going to edit this and change it. But you have to be specific. I mean, I know everyone's afraid to be specific because it puts it out there to fail, but that's what's required. You know, that's really what's needed.
And this is Susan. I think I just want to hark back to one of the initial discussions that we had, and I used Kennedy going to the moon as an example. I mean, that was just about as bold and specific as you can get, but it was exciting. And it really did rally people around it, and I think that's really what the goals and objectives are about. Put something out there that's achievable, but a stretch. If you hedge your bets all around it, I think people will read it for what it is, which is, we're too afraid to really put ourselves out there.
And I think, Steve, you're right about sort of framing everything in a positive light. You know, what would sort of science policy decision making look like if this could be done? You know, and that's going to excite people. That's going to, especially excite, funding agencies, I think.
But, that said, I still want to take a step back and say that maybe we need to rephrase or package this a little differently, but I do like the three objectives. I think that, for somebody whose specialty is pretty much along these lines like me, I'm pretty excited to think that improved sea ice prediction is an important goal because that's needed. The consequences of a seasonally ice-free Arctic, that's hugely important. And then a burning question that's always in the news these days is the consequences of the Arctic on mid-latitude weather and climate. So I think that we've picked three really exciting topics. It's just maybe a matter of how we word them and how we package them.
Yeah, it's just framing them.
Yep.
Framing them, yeah.
Yeah.
Good choice of words.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like, the science objectives, those are there. It's, the guts of it and the content, pretty well established. It's just, like I said, just, how you're wording it, framing it, and approaching it.
I'm also looking at this and trying not to make it be twice as long as it is.
Yep.
Do you think if after each of the objectives, 1, 2, and 3, we have, a dash and put in some italicized sentence or two along the lines of what we're just talking about? Would you think that would help it along? Is that what you...
I put those things right in that introductory paragraph. I think one example for each of the three objectives would be great. And then that frames why we have that objective. And it does it for, you know, I mean, you might get people at the higher levels who aren't going to read past that first paragraph. And so cramming a bunch of stuff into that is one way to go, but making it so that there are these three, this is why we really need to do this. Not what we're going to do, but why we need to do it, might be really useful.
Okay, well then it sounds like that's just an edit of the preamble because we have, you know, if we just rewrite a couple of those sentences, we should be able to do it. It already says, given the pivotal role sea ice plays for ecosystems, human activities, and the global climate system, significant reduction in sea ice will have substantial reproductions, including, and then a laundry list. So, I mean, maybe we just put in another sentence that it makes it more a more clear connection to the three sub-objectives.
And, Janet, I think, you know, if you and Hayo, you know, what's important now is sort of getting those ideas in there, and we can sort of wordsmith and fiddle around a bit. But, you know, getting some specific, you know, here's our vision of what, you know, this objective number one would do for everyone. You know, and wherever you put it, I don't think it really matters so much. But, you know, I think if you guys can really focus on those sort of big ideas, then we can, you know, wordsmith as needed and move stuff around if we need.
Yeah, I mean, based on just the conversation we've had, Janet, I think we can do this very quickly, like possibly today or tomorrow, just edit the first, you know, the introductory paragraph, include kind of three examples or three bullets like that, and then that's it, or what do you think?
I've been adding in notes as we're talking, so which is why I'm asking where are you thinking it might go best. So why don't I send it
okay.
You, Hayo, and Helen, and
yeah,
then add in what you think,
and
it can go to the group.
Okay, great.
Any other SSC members' ideas about the sea ice goals or concerns or confusion?
Helen, I don't want to dominate this, but I just had one more goal, and I think, I mean, one more comment, and I think it probably applies. It's going to apply to all of the ones that we do, all of our goals. And that is, for example, within an objective, objective number one, apply diverse and new tools, you know, there are seven different points. And as I started to get down through those points, I was wondering, well, is there some sort of temporal arrangement here? Should this one be done before this? Is there a priority? In addition, are things linked? For example, A and G, the sea ice outlook and sea ice forecasting community of practice through innovative networking seem to me to be very related. Why are they A and G? So I'm just wondering that within an objective, if we need to make it a little more clear, if there's any flow or structure in there or how those points are related to one another. Maybe they're not.
Well, I guess I would. One thing I would say is we did have some of them combined, and then they got re-separated. So maybe we could just take a harder look and just decide on how it's going to be. But you're right. I mean, the first one has five ideas in it. The second one has six ideas in it. And by the time you get to G, it's just a very concrete, single-standing idea.
Yep. And a few like are really all about observations and Aeon, and that really could be sort of synthesized and not quite as wordy. So I think we could work to sort of sub-organize that a little bit better.
I had a similar thought. This is Breck. I had a similar thought. I don't think it's necessary to explain that that's the logic of this, but if it's laid out that way, it will, I think, come across correctly.
Yeah.
I noticed, this is Steve, I noticed that A and E have some overlap. So A talks about rigorous assessments of predictive success, but then E mentions evaluate predictive methods and success across time scale. So it could be tightened up a little bit there to, if we want to save some space.
Could I just get a clarification before we move on? As I was reading these, I was looking at some of the words, some of the verbs in here, like to assess or to develop or to build and so forth. Is that the level of specificity? We were talking about this earlier, but I guess I'm a little bit unclear whether that's kind of the level of specificity that we're targeting or whether we're wanting to be more specific or to back off of that. Neil was wanting us to be fuzzier, is that correct?
No, not in the goals. Neil's wanting
The opposite.
The opposite. He's wanting it to be more specific. Okay.
Because what they keep on and what I would keep on harping on is, if you say improve or develop or assess, you can improve, develop, and assess for millennia, basically. And there, NSF, I know, is going to want to see language that points to an end goal, which is hard, though. We get your thesaurus out, and there's just not a lot of ways you can say develop or improve or assess. So I think just getting as specific as possible will be important.
Yeah, so I'm looking at 2E, for example, which is to advance research, and so I don't quite know what to do with that.
Right.
Yeah, and that one... I have the least amount of, knowledge about sub-objective number 2. So I left those bullets as pretty much that I found them, since they didn't come from, discussions that I had with people. So I agree. That one is probably a little fuzzy. But I didn't...
And I'm not picking on that, because I know that as I'm trying to rewrite the permafrost, it's the same sort of thing. And so, how do you do this?
Yeah.
Can I just say something? It's 20 of 3. This is Susie. 20 of 3, and I understood that we have an hour. Can we talk about the societal one? I'm sitting here rewriting it as I'm going, and I'm it's dangerous. I just sent another version out.
Go ahead, Hyla.
Sorry, Helen. I think that's a good idea because that would have been my suggestion. Now I think we're getting into very detailed. I would argue that having a bit of a balance between very specific goals but having some in areas where it's not yet very clear how the research is going to evolve, leaving them with this advance, I still see that as okay, if it's a healthy mix of the two types.
I would agree with that because I think that if we got too specific, it could be viewed as, depending on what it was and how it was worded, that you're just trying to get your specific idea in there.
Okay. So are we all ready to move on to the society policy goal? And it's, I know, Janet, you're taking a bunch of notes and sort of editing, and you'll work on something and send it out. Ohio and myself, and then we'll iterate it.
Yep.
Great.
So I just sent out something to everybody who was on the email. Sorry. I just wordsmithed a little more.
Okay. Okay, so if we're ready to move on to that one, Susie, would you mind sort of walking us through that goal and what the intention was? And
Without sounding, like too polarizing about it as far as people who are actually living in the Arctic and living with change, and then everybody else who are, to a large extent, making a lot of decisions about, how we are actually going to respond on a global level or not respond on a global level, and sort of, the way that information of how people are understanding, perceiving, and responding. I took out, whether they're adapting or not, because that's clumsy, because we start getting into trying to define whether something is an adaptation or not. So I think responding to change is much more neutral. So the idea is to get a better understanding of how people in different Arctic environments where change is happening to greater or lesser extent, whether they're going through the loss of sea ice or the loss of land snow or the loss of permafrost or the loss of the regular seasons that they had, you know, for centuries adapted to for their subsistence, and now the seasonal timing is changing, which is affecting their biological resources, et cetera. So that's sort of one whole area. And if you look down in the objectives are sort of these two stances where we're trying to get a better understanding of the people in rural and urban areas of the Arctic and how they're responding to this change. And the latest version for the first objective, I changed it a little bit just to reflect the fact that, you know, kind of the first thing we need to do is get a sense of what we know to date as far as the human response, and then based upon that, design ways to anticipate and predict. You know, you're getting into kind of fuzzy territory here because, you know, humans are innovative and they come up with new ideas, and so to some extent, you know, trying to design methods to anticipate and predict future response is a very sort of natural science mindset. Does that make sense? Hello?
Yes.
I mean, it's. I don't know how to put it into a social science mindset or frame. Are there any other social scientists on the line right now?
No,
hello?
I think you're the only one, although Karen might qualify. I can't speak to that.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are ways to do this, and I think the wordage is fine, but I'm just adding sort of a little footnote here for us as a group that, for me, putting the words here, like anticipate and predict future human response, it's a little more tricky than if you're talking about, you know, modeling how global temperature change is going to affect, for example, sea ice cover, you know. I mean, humans are different. So maybe, you know, I don't know if there's some way to put that in here. Maybe we can just keep it the way it is, or maybe we can put that nuance in somewhere. I just remember one of my colleagues, you know, we spend a lot of time at these conferences talking about, you know, how different communities are perceiving, responding, understanding the changes that are happening. And we forget to talk about the innovative ways that they're dealing with it, which is a whole nother area. So there is a whole nother innovative area here. But that said, I don't want to confuse everybody.
Susie, this is Greg Bowden, and this is not my area, but I guess I had some misgivings about this along the lines of what you're describing, one part of it is the words, you know, develop a comprehensive understanding. I'm not quite sure what that means, and then as you were saying just a moment ago, you know, prediction of human behavior is, you know, fraught with all sorts of difficulties that you would know better than I. But I wonder if what this is in part is kind of quantifying, human responses to past environmental change in the Arctic, and then develop methods to identify and anticipate how people are innovating with respect to future changes, with the key word being kind of innovating.
Yes, I agree. So design methods to identify and anticipate,
how people are innovating with respect to future changes in the Arctic. I guess what I was trying to get rid of was the word predict. Now, social scientists might say that's all wrong, that that's exactly what they want to do, but I don't know, there's something about that that at least from my perspective, seems unlikely.
Well, I just took it out, so I did it.
So I'm the two pieces of that first goal would be to, you know, quantify how people have responded to past change and then to develop methods to anticipate how they will innovate to with respect to future changes.
Yeah. The only part I have a problem with is quantifying. I think we can qualify. I mean, I think we can qualify.
I was trying to think of a better word than quantify. All I meant by that was to look at what has already happened.
Right.
Catalog.
Exactly.
To catalog what has already happened and to see what that can tell us about identifying a way to anticipate how they might innovate in the future.
Yes, and that's sort of the, I guess your using of the word quantify, that's kind of how I was saying, yeah, I was using comprehensive, which just basically means try to bring together what we know to date. About the huge variation of ways that humans have innovatively responded to this change, and then, like you said, design ways to, anticipate future innovation. So I think I like that. That's good.
So what I really like here is, in particular, 1C, this question of how do you anticipate societal response, I think your example is particularly pertinent, and I'm wondering whether somehow that could be highlighted a bit more, because that to me is the link then to the two other sets of goals. The sea ice, which of course is going to impact, coastal activities, coastal communities, as well as the land surface or permafrost change, which may, in particular permafrost degradation, may greatly accelerate coastal erosion and add substantial uncertainty, including where you relocate to. So I'm wondering whether you have any thoughts on how we might, is anybody basically on the call, but certainly Susie, how we can make these potential linkages between these different goals clearer.
Well, we could just write into there, develop methods to anticipate societal response using empirically based predictions and scenarios of sea ice, land-based ice. We could actually just insert those brief titles of things that are threats to human communities as these changes occur. We could put them right in there. That's one idea.
Yeah, and maybe that's a good place to start. And then I think later on we'll just have to stress again how these things go together. So no, that sounds good.
So I'm putting it in.
Susie, this is Karen. Could you make sure that I receive that one, or Helen? Could you send it on?
Yep. I will.
Thank you.
So the empirically based predictions of scenarios of sea ice, land-based ice, coastal erosion, what else?
Well, land-based ice, maybe I would say permafrost, right, Breck? I mean, because I don't see, you know, glacier change or ice sheet change as relevant.
Absolutely permafrost, yes.
Okay, so scenarios of sea ice, permafrost. Maybe I should just put sea ice and permafrost degradation, comma, coastal erosion. No, I guess it's not sea ice loss. Sea ice loss, permafrost degradation, coastal erosion, and other ETC, et cetera.
So, Susie, where are you putting that? Is that going to be a new letter?
No, I've got it in 1C. It says, I'm rewriting 1C to say, develop methods to anticipate societal response using empirically based predictions of scenarios of sea ice loss, permafrost degradation, coastal erosion.
You know, I wonder about being just a little bit more explicit. I think that's packing an awful lot of information into one bullet. And I wonder whether 1C should be pretty much as it is about developing and anticipating these responses, which are about, the planning needs that are with respect to threatened communities and transportation, and those are kind of the infrastructural resources. But then there would be another bullet, which would be about looking at the interactions between these other goals, explicitly looking at these other goals that are addressing sea ice and permafrost and coastal erosion, and how those two interact with each other. So instead of trying to pack it all into one bullet, that it's two bullets.
Okay.
Well, just a suggestion.
No, because I think actually 1C, I think you're right, because in 1C, I think we're actually talking about empirically based predictions and scenarios of human response, which now we're going to change because we decided we didn't like using predictions. Scenarios is less. Okay.
Well, it just seems to me that C is about the resources. It's it's about the where is it? It's about the communities. It's about the transportation. It's about what else is in there? Other location of resources. And that I thought that what Haya was saying was then it's related to that. It's about how does sea ice influence this? How does the changes in permafrost? But to basically kind of call it out and actually make it explicit that connections are being made from this to the other goals.
Okay, I have an idea. Tell me what you think of this. How about we make what is now C, D, and after B. So A and B are pretty much talking about understanding past response and innovation, right? And then assessing that. So then C, we could say, develop scenarios of the, predicted threats to human communities, including loss of sea ice, blankety, blankety, blank. So there it would link with these other goals. And then we'd talk about developing methods to anticipate societal response.
I like that.
Based upon the challenges that will emerge from those environmental changes.
Yeah, I like that.
So tell me what I said.
Maybe it's easier to I think that's on the right track, but Susie, if you can send this to even just to Breck and myself, we can look at that and provide additional edits, and then we can, the whole thing can go out to the rest.
Okay.
I like where it's going, and I look forward to seeing your edits, Susie. This is Karen.
Okay.
And it sounds like to me, Helen, that and Hyle, that we're on the right track for the kinds of things NSF was hoping to see with our goals and objectives, right?
Yes, very much so. And not just NSF. I mean, I think with the other agencies, this is really helping us quite a bit as well.
So I've started this number C. It's saying something along the lines of develop community-relevant scenarios based upon predictions of sea ice loss, permafrost degradation, coastal erosion, and other environmental change that will affect them into the future. Something like that. How's that?
Yeah, that's great. But Susie, it's just much easier for me if you could just send me that. You know, I'll suggest some additional edits, and then we can finish that up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the scenarios part, that just in the sort of the broader community, that seems to resonate and excite people quite a bit. So I think that's great, actually. And so
okay.
Can you talk just a little bit about objective two?
Yeah. Let me just get the rest of these things in here. Okay, so objective two is really, you know, kind of the other end of the spectrum where, you know, we know that the, you know, Arctic change is affecting the people living in the Arctic. It's also affecting the rest of the world. You know, it affects the global ecosystem. It's also being understood, and a lot of the science is being developed outside of the Arctic. So, number two is, you know, trying to improve the public and I put in just now, or just before I sent this last one, and policy perceptions, because I think that's pretty critical that even though it seems like we're going up a cliff to try to get to policy people about this, I think it's important for us to have that in there. So that's what number two is about, is trying to get the communication of what's happening and how it's affecting Arctic communities, Arctic ecosystems, and global ecosystems more available to the public and to the policy people, so that public perception is better and policy recommendations and implications and things like COP17 could actually mean something. Just a little humor there. So that's what that is.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I don't have an issue with that. I mean, again, what I like about this point is, I mean, of course, we know this is very specific to, I mean, that's a very specific goal. What's interesting about it is that that's one of the ways in which these research activities could help inform education and outreach, and so it might even be worthwhile to consider whether that could be a fourth goal, would be to say something about, you know, develop effective communication outreach approaches that build on the findings of this research or something like that, right?
Yep.
I mean, Helen, what do you think? I mean, Arcus does a lot of education outreach. I mean, do you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, and that what you were saying, Hi, was what I was reading into 2C actually is, you know, sort of evaluating successes and failures, and then, you know, basically developing in innovative ways based on that evaluation.
Okay.
But I don't know if I was reading that incorrectly, Susie. But
well, no. Okay. Yeah. Mm.
And I really like this objective. It's tight, it's clear, it's specific, it's doable. I like it.
Okay, Susie, yeah, maybe you can, I mean, I guess I was, if the, you know,
so
I had trouble with the...
I think we could just add something to C.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's kind of, you know, short. I mean, it says develop innovative ways to strengthen those efforts. We could say develop innovative ways to strengthen those efforts through effective outreach and education approaches that build on the findings of this research.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Yeah. Okay, I will send this on. It sounds like we're, it's too bad Larry's not on the call, but I assume he'll have some input.
And we'll be sure, you know, all the next iterations go through the whole, you know, SSB and panels, too, so folks can comment via email if they'd like.
So then, Helen, my question to you is, I mean, this came up in talking with Neil today. When is this going to go out to Neil to be sent out to the IPMC?
I think for this version, it can just go out, you know, after everybody sort of does their next iteration, it can go to the iteration, you know, and there'll be several more iterations, I'm sure, but, you know, certainly this week, you know, I think just whatever we have in whatever shape.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
You know, so, I don't want to wait for anything, but.
Mm-hmm. But does that mean then we would include the land surface and land ice goals as well in their current state? Okay, great, yes.
Yep.
Okay, good. Yeah, I think that'll be really good because I think actually Neil was eager to send this out to the IPMC. So.
Great, good, good. Okay, anything else just generally on the goals or last thought? Okay, great. This was really, really useful. So I really appreciate everybody who took the time to join the call. And then, you know, we'll be working with everyone to get next iterations out via email as soon as possible.
I'm gonna send you mine in about 3 minutes after I just add in a few more words. It's called newest.
Okay. Most newest. Great. Okay, thanks, Susie.
Susie, I'm gonna send you something right now.
Okay. Is that Brett?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll wait.
Okay. Well, thanks everybody.
Yep.
Helen,
thank you.
Bye.
And see you guys
later. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thanks.